Following all adulting adults,
you're tuning into the Grown Up Podcast, a show I created to talk about the struggles of the new millennium and share different perspectives in order to make sense of being a grown up. Along the way, I search for independent music, businesses, and individuals who make a way for themselves in the content creating industry via podcasts, books, blogs, vlogs, and more to show that we should support each other's ideas instead of tear them down. Tune into the podcast monthly, and don't forget to follow me to stay up on new artists, new adventures, oh yeah, and more grown-up shit. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Grown Up Podcast, where you already know what we do. We talk about that grown up shit, we celebrate independence, and of course I got that now music at the end of the episode here, so make sure you stick around the entire episode and catch everything, okay? You don't want to miss nothing. We have a time here on the Grown Up Podcast. If you're a brand new listener, or if you're coming back, of course, as always, I haven't done it in a few episodes, but I should stay consistent. I have to appreciate, send love to all of the listeners, subscribers. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sending me support through DM and all of these things. I truly appreciate it. It's very humbling to know that the work that you're putting in is, you know, being reciprocated as far as something that is good and decent in this world. So much appreciation and much thanks to all the listeners and subscribers. And if you're not a subscriber just yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button for me. Make sure you share the podcast and, you know, show some love. I appreciate y'all for supporting me, for supporting independence, and of course supporting independent music. Okay, I have a great episode for you today. I have a wonderful guest joining me later on in the episode. It was a wonderful interview, and I know that y'all will love it. And of course, like I said, I have that now music at the end for y'all. So like I said, stick around, and it's going to be a good time for this month's episode, okay? So as y'all know, I'm just going to get right into it. As y'all know, I've been changing the podcast structure. I've been changing the podcast episode numbers that I drop within a month. I have changed the pattern of which I drop the episodes. I have changed my social media presence. I have changed so many things since starting this podcast. And that, all that being said, before we get to the interview portion of this episode, I want to talk about a word that has been coming up so much in my circle, in conversations that I've been having, in my life in general right now, in the season that I'm in. And that word is authenticity. And that's actually going to be the title of this episode, because it really is truly something that I am invested in right now, and I am attempting to embody and carry that for, you know, the rest of my life, is being authentic and being true to myself. And I've touched on this a bit throughout the podcast, throughout these 4 years, about being myself and not holding back. And, you know, someone told me that they could kind of hear that in, you know, in the beginning stages of the podcast. And so I really have tried my best to be as authentic as I know I am. But as of lately, when I really start to think about if I'm really being my true self, all the time, especially with my podcast, I start to think like, wow, maybe I haven't been as authentic as, you know, I want to be. I haven't said some things that I want to say, or, you know, done some things that I want to do, or take a chance in a way that I haven't taken a chance before. And, you know, all of those things stem into my idea of why I feel like I may be stagnant, or I may feel like I'm not doing as much, or my name isn't as big, or isn't, you know, as out here as I would like it to be, or, you know, just basically all of these negative things in my mind, instead of seeing who I am already and who is already being presented out here. And that is somebody who is working hard and who is sticking to what he loves, no matter what, you know, at what cost it has been. And so I really just kind of want to, I guess, sort of talk about myself a little more authentically in the aspect of the space I'm in right now, the season I'm in right now, and really just kind of go from there. Because, you know, these 4 years of doing this podcast has really been me growing and me learning and me understanding. And, you know, of course, that's what this podcast embodies. You know, being a grown-up is growing and learning and understanding. And that is truly what I've been doing these past 4 years. And now I'm in a space where it's all coming together, and I'm figuring out the balance of life and the balance of, you know, all that comes with that. And so I want to kind of start, I guess, just a few months ago, you know, when I decided to get married and, you know, move to a new state and just kind of embrace me in a new place, in a new environment. And so far, it's been very interesting. You know, I would have considered myself a very just open and loving person, and, you know, just welcoming and warm. And, you know, I want to go back to starting my transition. And that was almost 3 years ago now, this year, in September. And I really want to put my transition story into the podcast now, because it's been a long 3 years, for one. And for two, I just feel like it is authentically my story, you know, and I can't continue to really bottle my transition in a space, just because I feel like, you know, maybe people aren't ready to hear it, or I feel like people may assume that the entire podcast is, you know, about transitioning or about, you know, the LGBTQ plus community or what have you. And, you know, none of those things really matter, because at the end of the day, it's my story and it's who I am. And, you know, it's a part of the journey that has taken me, you know, through the podcasting and through these last 4 years and all of this. And it's a huge part of me being authentic and true to myself and making that decision and that choice and, you know, taking these steps to go down this path. And so, and also it's another form of me people pleasing, you know, because I was just getting over the mountain, the hill, the climb, whatever you want to call it, of people pleasing. And it really stemmed from trying to please, you know, mostly my family, because those are the first people that, you know, you're close with, that you see all the time growing up, and, you know, it's your family. That's the first introduction, you know, as far as people in this world, is your family. And, you know, you don't want to disappoint them. You don't want to make them feel any other way other than proud of you, other than, you know, happy for you, and, you know, all these things. But that's really just kind of a surface level. You know, as you grow up, you kind of, you know, want more than that. You want, like, respect and, you know, a deeper level of caring and understanding. And, you know, because you start to experience all these different things in life, and, you know, it's difficult, especially when maybe your other family members aren't experiencing these things due to them making different choices than you are. And now you're in different spaces and trying to figure out how to communicate to say, hey, I'm in a different space, but can I be able to just say this? And, you know, it's a lot. And so, I people pleased so much to the point where it broke me on the inside. And once it broke me on the inside, it started to spill over outwardly. And I was outwardly, you know, showing those kinds of fits as an adult, you know, and I didn't like that for myself, just plain and simple, especially being an adult and knowing that I have the choice to be able to figure out how to put what I'm feeling into words and express it in a way that is understanding. And so, and it was really like I feel like I've been reverse growing up in a way, because I feel like when I was a kid, I had to grow up so fast and I had to kind of learn a lot of things, a lot of adult things very young. And so by the time I kind of, and quote unquote, was free at 18, you're not really free, but just in a sense of like, you know, switching from kid mind to adult mind, you know, you think you're free, quote unquote, in a sense. And so, you know, that freedom of being an adult, it was like, wow, okay, where do I start? What do I do? I don't even know, you know, because I felt like I've already had to have all these responsibilities. And so it's like, okay, I guess I just keep going and keep carrying these responsibilities. But I didn't have the luxury of experiencing, like, you know, lashing out or trying to have deep conversations or trying to, you know, get my words together and learn how to say them in the best way possible. And, you know, I acted out and I did all those things, you know, and it was rough. But by the time I got to adulthood, it was like, okay, I have to just still carry these responsibilities while also figuring out how to grow up. Literally, like, I literally have to be a grown up now. And it was interesting. It was tough. It was, you know, it was a whirlwind of emotions, because again, like, the bottom line was I was still people pleasing, and I still in a lot of ways wanted to please my family and please, you know, those around me. And, you know, I just didn't want to mess up, and I didn't want to make a mistake, and I didn't want to be wrong, and I didn't want to, you know, it was a lot of don'ts. Like, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this, I can't have that, I can't do this, I can't, you know. And it was, and I really, you know, personally boxed myself in a lot of ways as well. And so, you know, fast forward to now, boxing and putting away my transition, you know, and I even hear that kind of like in episodes that I listened to recently. It's like, you know, I want to put it out there, but not really. And it's like, it's me. That's me. You know, I'm a trans man. This is my life. And, you know, there's no other way for me to kind of go around it and just, you know, pretend like I, you know, it doesn't exist. So, you know, I came to this conclusion in my mind, like, you're in a way like people pleasing again, you know, and there's no reason for you to have to people please, because not only have you made this decision for you, but you're standing in it, you're living it, you're doing it, in fact. And so it's like, this is who I am. And so starting at my transition about 3 years ago, it was really rough, and it was hard because it was like a light bulb went off in my head, but there was no way that I thought that I could be happy in a way because of the people pleasing part of me. Like, I knew making this decision for me was going to be the best decision that I ever make for myself. But I also knew that because I was a people pleaser, it was going to it was going to also equally be the most heartbreaking decision that I would ever make for myself. And it's crazy to say because, you know, if you're making a choice for yourself, why would it be heartbreaking at all? You know, why would that be heartbreaking at all when you know that you're living your best life, you're living, you know, for you, and you're making the best choice for yourself? But it's also heartbreaking. And the reason it was heartbreaking, it was because I had so many circumstances surrounding me as far as, you know, keeping myself from making that decision at bay. You know, I felt like, you know, I was, you know, my mom and dad's only girl. I was the youngest, the baby, you know, of three or four older brothers. Three older brothers. I felt like I had a lot of expectations on me just being the only girl out of the bunch, just to be plain and simple. And so making the choice to transition, there was really no choice in my mind at first. You know, I felt like it wasn't something, well, first and foremost, I had no idea about it. I had no idea that it was a thing that, you know, transitioning was a thing, that transitioning even existed. Like I had no knowledge, no information about it, right? And so, you know, for a long time, for 25 years, you know, I lived as a woman, and it was tough. It really was tough. I mean, I really can't find many words to describe like the mental toll, the emotional toll, the physical toll that it took on me to literally put on a mask. And again, this is, again, like something that has just been coming up so much, is like putting on a mask, being authentic. And it's like I was doing all those things. I was putting on a mask, and I was smiling and making jokes and, you know, just trying to be a light, you know, in spite of the darkness that I felt on the inside. And when the darkness would peak, you know, I would cover it up with lightness, and it just, you know, it would fade away, because, you know, darkness can't live in the light. But eventually that caught up with me. You know, of course, at 25, all of the darkness that had been building up until 25 years old, it was starting to consume the light that I had. And before I knew it, you know, as much as I could say darkness can't live in the light, you know, the darkness had grown so much that it just took over the light. And not that the light was gone completely. It's like essentially, you know, the cloud, when the clouds come up and they, you know, that covers the sun, you know, but I knew that the light was still under there. We know that the sun is still shining under those clouds. And when those clouds move, the sun will shine again. And so that darkness was just covering the light. And I was just kind of really slowly, but also in my mind, it felt very quickly, going downhill and succumbing to this darkness and this black hole. And I remember repeatedly for a good few years that I would cry around the same time of the year. I would get like sadness and depressive bouts continuously throughout the year. I would have very high anxiety. I would, you know, I would not want to make new friends. And even now, and that I'll get to that, you know, I wouldn't want to go out and, you know, really be out in spaces where I had to be around crowds of people and things like that. And I slowly just really went inside of myself, and I put myself in the shell, and, you know, I couldn't recognize myself. I could not recognize myself. And the more that I kept living, the more I didn't want to. And when it started to come to that point, it was like, okay, I know I'm strong because I've made it to this point that I've made it to in my life. You know, I've survived this far. I have come this far. I have done all that I can to get to this very moment. And so what good would it be to end it all now, you know, and not see it through? Not only just see it through, but just stick around. Like, life is so beautiful when you strip away all of the worldly things that we think make us who we are, and we take on not only the spiritual things, but just the inner things on the inside that actually matter, that actually mean something, that actually make a difference in the worldly things. You know, that's where we find our true self. And so after, you know, getting a divorce and going through all of that, that was a really pivotal moment for me to say, okay, you know what? Like, I'm going to make decisions for me and how I feel from here on out. I am no longer going to people please, because that marriage, I felt, definitely was another, I felt like that was my final breaking point of people pleasing, because the marriage was, you know, a high school sweetheart type of meetup, you know, again thing. And I thought, you know, hey, this is the deal. And I figured, you know, make her happy, and this will be it. This will be my happy, because my happy was, I've always wanted to get married. I've always wanted to have kids and, you know, have the family and all of that. And so it was like, okay, great. Like, if I make her happy and, you know, we build this marriage, we have the kids, like, high school sweetheart, like, that's a story, you know, that's a story to tell. And, you know, I wasn't thinking about, like, well, how is that really making me feel? What did I really want to feel in general? Like, I didn't stop to think about myself at all, really. And, you know, after everything was said and done, I told myself, like, no, like, you're not going to do that anymore. You're going to think about yourself. You're going to do what's best for you. You're going to make decisions based on how you feel, and you're not going to let any outside or worldly things, you know, deter you from what you know is best for you. And since I made that decision, I started transitioning, and from there it just kind of felt like all of the things that I guess I was holding on to fell off and went away. And it was interesting because on one hand, I felt a relief. I felt I could breathe. I felt, you know, there was peace at being able to just live my life. But on the other side, I felt, you know, destroyed. And I felt like the whole world that I had built was gone, and I was lost, and I was alone now. And I, you know, there was nothing. It was nothing. It was nothing but me to continue figuring this out. And, you know, in any case, I was figuring out my life for me anyway, you know, since I turned 18, and even before then. You know, not to say that there wasn't family along the way that helped, either by giving advice or place to stay or money or whatever, like, you know, things like that. But just meaning growth mentally, growth emotionally, growth spiritually. Like, I feel like I've put a lot of time and effort into myself. And, now it's interesting. Everything is just so interesting. Now going into, this is year three in September of having taken T shots. I've had top surgery. I'm holding off on bottom surgery for a little while, just until things get a little stable in my life, but definitely want to go back and have a reconstructive top surgery to make sure that my chest looks the way that I want it to look. But now I just feel so happy. I feel so happy. I feel I can look in the mirror and smile and see me. I can go out in the world and be me, and people see me, and maybe they don't see that I'm a trans man, or because I don't obviously have like a sticker on my head that says trans man, or I'm not constantly wearing clothes that reveal that part of my life or whatever. But I do know that people are still not still, but they're still welcoming, if not more welcoming, because I'm showing up as my authentic self. And now that I'm stepping into me and being able to be comfortable with understanding my transition and talking about my transition, like, that is another part of me being authentic and me being real and putting myself out here. Like, I'm a Black queer trans man, and I'm married. I'm a college student. I'm a podcaster. I'm a radio guy. I work for a radio station. This is who I am. I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I have an independent spirit. And that's the reason why I do this podcast, is because all of those things that I just named is who I am. And I want to show that through this podcast, and in hopes that whoever's listening to this, whether it's this is for them or whether they hear it and it clicks for somebody else and they, share it, that they know that they can make the choices for themselves, however that may look, to somebody else. It doesn't matter. As long as it feels good to you, don't let anyone tell you that something is wrong for you. Unless it does seem very dangerous and it does look like they have your best interests at hand, like, very much consider, what they're saying. But at the end of the day, like, what's best for you. What you want to do in this life. And, there's infinite potential to grab that passion for what you have, whatever you have the passion for, and there's infinite potential to go after it. Something that I hear a lot with, people my age that I'm interviewing or talking to or what have you, telling stories about, their parents having dreams and, having to put that on hold because in a different time, that wasn't the case. Back then, when our parents were growing up, it wasn't the case to, make choices and decisions that were going to be based on something that you're passionate about in life and, all of that. And like, that was not a thing. It was you are going to go to school, you either go to college, and if you don't go to college, you're going to get a job and get a good one. Because from there on out, you're going to be at that job for a while providing, and the next step is get married and have kids. And it's like, it was this list, and it's like, okay, boom, 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 boom. But, and that's because previous to that, it was essentially the same thing, because life has just been the way it is. But now that we're in new times and we're experiencing new things and we have updated technology and social media and like all these different things that are influenced in our life. You know, now more than ever, we really have to make sure that we're making the best choices and decisions for ourselves, our situation, how we feel, and for our life. You know, like no one can make that decision for you. You know, that TikTok video, that Instagram reel, that whatever is not, you know, it's mostly a suggestion based off of that person's life, you know, and it's them putting their self out there in hopes to help or, you know, add to your life. But, you know, if it doesn't feel right for you, if it doesn't feel like something that is for you, you know, you don't have to do it. You just don't have to. You know, we all have choices. We all have the ability to make a choice. Thank you, God. He put us on this earth to be able to have a choice. He, you know, and it's, I think, one of the things that I am coming to terms with so much. And I'm so thankful that I'm getting closer to God and getting deeper into my spiritual and understanding the world in a more spiritual way, because I can see people so much better, and I'm not showing up with so much judgment or anger or hatred towards someone, especially someone that I don't even know. And, you know, only base what maybe our interaction may be in that moment off that one experience. And so, I've been in such a humbling season of my life, a eye-opening season of my life, a optimistic season of my life. You know, I really knew and wanted 2024 to be a door-opening year for me. And one of those ways that the doors will open for you, and you will hear that in this interview that I have for you really soon here, because I don't want to talk too much, because we did have a pretty good conversation. I'll leave y'all with this. One of those things that we mentioned was when you are your true authentic self, that's when all the doors open for you. And, you know, I really feel like now that I am being my true self, being Derek Ermaez Gonzalez Holland. Yes, I took my wife's last name and put it in my middle name because that's just how we roll. You know, that is who I am. And that is who I'm going to show up as every day for the rest of my life. And you either gonna love it or hate it. I hope you love it. But if you hate it, you know, that's okay. If you love it, I love you back, of course. I mean, if you hate it, I love you back too. That's all right. You know, but other than that, you know, I'm just going to continue being me, continue pushing the barrier of independence, and, you know, continue shining the light on trans men in creative spaces, and particularly podcasting. So I hope that, you know, this little spiel of me kind of talking about authenticity has really brought my story full circle into an authentic, in a authentic way. And I hope that this interview conversation that I had with the guest that's joining me for the episode today does something for you as well. So with all that being said, I do not want to leave y'all in suspense for much longer. The interview that I have for y'all was a great conversation I had with a guy who I was very, very, very nervous. I can't stress it enough. Very nervous to ask to even have on the podcast, to even just put myself out there. But being myself, stepping into my true authentic self, has given me the confidence level that I could have never imagined for myself when I was a kid. And so I'm so thankful and so grateful that I reached out and he reached back out and we were able to connect and get this interview because it was amazing. Okay, so before we get into the interview real quick though, the interview for our conversation is going to be turned into a YouTube video. So yes, Grown Up Podcast has a YouTube channel. Yes, you should already be subscribed. And unfortunately, if you're not subscribed, then that means fortunately you have time. So go over to the Grown Up Podcast YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. And if you want to visually see our interview conversation, you can go and check that out on there because I will drop the video. Okay. Now, without further ado, we are going to head into this interview. Now, there are two things in here before we get into it. One, I asked a question that was kind of strange. I asked him right after he explained that he got into acting around the sixth grade. I asked him if he knew about an agent, and that was me hearing his response and then kind of going into digging in interview mode. And then it was a question that was completely out of left field. But in any event, he was amazing and he recovered from that. So thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate it. And the second thing is he mispronounced his Twitter name for the up-and-coming series that he is developing. So I'll make sure to, of course, put the correct Twitter or X, formerly known as Twitter, name in the description below so y'all can click right away and follow him and check out everything that has to do with him. So now, once again, without further ado, let's get into the interview with Jonathan Burke from Amazon Prime's original series, Harlem. Let's go. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Grown Up Podcast, where you already know what we do. We talk about grown up shit. We celebrate independence. And of course, I got that Natural on the Wave music for you at the end. Today, I have a great guest joining me, and I'm so excited that we were able to connect. We're celebrating connections, creativity, and entrepreneurship with our guest today. He's an actor, a screenwriter, a producer. So let me stop with all that intro and introduce him, Jonathan Burke. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll be discussing his career, struggles, and motivations to not only celebrate his independent success, but also share the knowledge of trust and belief in self. So with all that being said, let's get to the questions here. So my first question is, let's start from the beginning. When did you discover your creative bug?
Oh my gosh. I actually have a distinct memory and exact moment when I decided that I was like an artist and that this was something that I could do. And it was in sixth grade in Baltimore,
really?
Maryland. Yes.
Okay.
Funny enough, I just had lunch with a girl who went to that middle school with me. And we were just discussing that performance. And she was like, I remember seeing you at that time and you were a star then. And I was like, he's so amazing. And I'm so glad to see you today where you are. Because yeah. In that moment, we did this musical about Motown that my music teacher, Kenyatta Hardison, at the Cardinal Sheehan School, I will always shout her out because yes. She has inspired me to be who I am. She created this musical and I played Stevie Wonder and I sang My Sharia Moore. And the first performance, the audience like went crazy at the end, standing ovation. And at that moment, I literally was like, oh, I can get used to this. This is dope.
Wow.
So then I just was like, let me devote my time and energy toward becoming an artist. And thanks to my teachers and my family for supporting me through that, that was when I made that decision. And from there on out, that was my focus.
So then did you know that you were going to kind of do this independently and really grow yourself? Or were you in a space of like, maybe I need an agent or, you know, something like that? So along the lines like that.
Well, at that time, I knew nothing about agents, managers, or anything about the actual industry. So I just was figuring one day what happened. I don't know. They would find me on the street. I didn't know what I was doing. But I knew that I needed to train. I did know that. So, like, I did end up going to Baltimore School for the Arts, where I majored in acting. So, like, I knew about... And that's, I guess, in that time is when I start to hear about, like, agents and things. Mm-hmm. But even then, I... you know, my parents weren't wanting me to like go out in the professional world just yet. They wanted me to get that education.
Right.
So I wasn't seeking that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until college. I went to Ithaca College, got a BFA in musical theater there, when I really focused on, okay, how can I make this a viable career mm-hmm. and be a part of the actual industry? And then upon graduating, you know, I found an agent and I was with them for a long time. And then recently, in the past couple of years, I added a manager onto the team. So just building up the, right. you know, the team behind me so that I have the best ability to shine in this crazy, crazy competitive industry.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So my next question I have for you is, as an entrepreneur who holds many hats, how do you handle the balance of working in your current success while enjoying your experience as you would call it, CEO of Jonathan Berg Business?
Yeah, you know what? It can be difficult because we have the thing that we're hired to do, you know, as right. artists, and those things are important. But those things help supplement the thing that I personally want to do for myself, that I want right. to create for myself. So I try to find the time whenever I'm on a downtime in between projects, especially to really focus on the project that I'm creating, that mm-hmm. I have written or that I'm producing. I try to give all the time that I can to those times when they can come, because mm-hmm. I know that there may be a time soon when I'm going to have rehearsal from 10 to 6 every day, or I'm right. going to have a show at night, or I'm going to be filming from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So I'm not going to really be able to focus wow. on that as much. But even in those times, like, look, I'll be on the break, having a meeting on the lunch break, or, you know, something, or an idea will come to me, write it down in the middle mm-hmm. of rehearsal if I'm on a 10 minute break, or, you know, whatever, if I'm in right. the trailer for a minute, and things will pop to me. So it's kind of a constant thing. You can't ever really drop the ball on it because yeah. it's your baby. So it's right. always kind of in my mind. Those projects that are mine
yeah.
are always there with me. But I get more focus to it, of course, when I'm able to be free to really, really devote like a lot of time to it.
Yeah, I can completely relate to that, because right now I'm still working towards being able to receive funds out of doing this podcasting thing. And so mm-hmm. having to hold down the regular job, but still know that ideas are popping up when like I'm in the middle of lunch or whatever, doing something at work, I'm like, I need to, oh, this is a good idea, you know, and just making sure that I still be consistent and focus on, like you said, my baby. This is something I love, I pour my heart into for free nonetheless. And so I completely relate to that. And I just think that creatives being able to relate to each other and being able to understand each other is so important. So love to yeah. have you here today.
I mean, so thank goodness for notes on your phone, because that, yes. that saves the day.
Oh,
the
my goodness. Truly, I have at least 150 notes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't even know how many, but it's just like endless amounts of things that I'm just like, oh, yeah, let me just pop this in really fast.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. So my next question is, what is your thought process like when you're presented with new projects or you have projects you want to create?
Yeah, the number one thing that I think about is, what is this project going to mean to the world? What is it going to bring to the world? How is it going to change people? How is it going to open people's minds? How is it going to express something new about particularly Black culture? I'm very much drawn toward the Black experience, and particularly the Black queer experience.
Yes.
So I'm really, really about elevating those stories, highlighting the nuances that are within our existence, and just fleshing out what it means to be a Black queer person in this world, and to show people that it is not at all monolithic, that yes. it is so many expressions within our community, and yeah. all those stories are worth being told. So when I'm creating a story, I'm thinking about that. When I'm accepting a piece of work, that's important to me as well. I mean, I just think that the visibility and the representation is so, so important, so that some little boy somewhere or girl somewhere or person somewhere can feel like they one day could be where I am, that they are seen, that they are important in this world, that their stories matter. So yes. those are the things that I think about first and foremost when thinking about a project.
I love that. I really do. And as a person, a part of the queer community, being trans myself, I am trying to figure out my own lane in podcasting, being a trans man, and, you know, connecting with people and making this podcast as broad as possible. So like you said, any person that can tune into this can relate and figure out their life through, you know, what I'm doing. So again, so excited that we're able to, you know, connect and really relate in that level.
Yeah, and you're doing it. It's amazing. So congrats to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
So my next question is, you've had the pleasure of working in TV and film as well as Broadway. This is a two-part question, so hold your pants.
Okay.
What are some positive and negatives being in both elements? And what advice can you give based on your experience to help others seeking success in the industry?
Okay. So I love both being on camera and being in the theater. Mm-hmm. My first love initially was, like I told you, being on that stage. Yes. That was the first thing that I was obsessed with. So there's something about live theater that you cannot recreate, literally, because it's happening in the moment at that time, only for that moment. And then it's gone, and it's ephemeral, and it is special because the audience is getting a once-in-a-lifetime, literally, once-in-a-lifetime experience of what you're bringing to the stage. And that dialogue between the audience is so dynamic, feeling that energy, feeding off of that energy, and really feeling palpably what's going on between us. So that is the thing that I love, love, love the most about theater. Now on camera, I love it. As a kid, I looked at TV shows and was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with Denzel Washington or Tate Diggs or, you know, these people. And I wanted to be a part of their world, but I was like, how will I get in there? How can I get and become a part of it? Eventually that happened. And I've fallen in love with being on camera. The reason I love being on camera is because it feels as if it's the closest to reality as possible. Like I feel like you get to be in a kitchen. If you're in a kitchen, you're on set, you're in a kitchen, you have the sink, you have the stuff. Like you are in a full world. And so it's almost as if nothing else matters but you and your scene partner, you and the environment you're in. And you get to create this truth that is just so, so deep. And the TV and film reaches so many more people. I really love that people literally across the globe can watch work that I've done. I mean, and that is incredible. The reach is just phenomenal. I wish that like somehow theater, you know, it can't do that. But that is the thing that I love. Now, the things that I would say that are like trickier about and the cons, if anything, about each thing. The theater, okay, one, I'm gonna be honest, the pay. We've got to do better about pay for theater actors. We bust our butts 8 shows a week for hours. Mm-hmm. It takes so much out of you, so much time, investment, so much preparation, training. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And we barely make enough money to like survive, especially in the city of like New York, where it's so expensive. So we need to be compensated for that work that we're doing, especially when the producers behind these plays are getting millions and millions of dollars. And the actors are not seeing any of that. It's very unbalanced. The pay, you're working so hard because you love it. Because of that passion that I was talking about as a kid that I fell in love with. And because of that connection with people. And so it is worth that. But it also deserves the compensation as well for it. So that would be one thing. And also, I mean, it's not a negative thing, but it's just the fact that, like, you have to always be on and ready. Like, you cannot say, hey, let's start over and do it again. If you mess up, you have to constantly be on. And if you, not to say that you don't mess up, because of course you will, it's natural, it's human, but right. you have to find a way to make it work for the performance and then, you know, seamlessly get back into, you know, and not make it throw you for the right. rest of the show, because it could do that for some people. Yeah. But you have to realize that that was a passing moment, and then you move on to the next. Every moment is happening now. So that happened, move on. You can't take it back. All you yeah. can do is move forward to the next. Yeah. So that, the hours. It's just also the hours. It's just, you only get one day off a week. And that, for wow. your schedule, for your personal life, is really difficult to, like, maintain. And to see family and to take trips, vacations, or visit yeah. people. You miss weddings, funerals, you know, all kinds of things, baby showers. There's so many yeah. things that you sacrifice mm-hmm. because of the time commitment that theater requires. Yeah. So that. Now, in terms of on camera, the thing that that I do love also, that you get 2 days off. That's really good too. For on camera, that was one of the positives. That's a great thing. But the negative, the hours are crazy as well. The hours can be really 12-hour days, 14-hour days. It's exhausting. And also, you do not actually, while you get the opportunity to say, if you mess up a line, you get to go back and do it again. But mm-hmm. once you finish that scene is wrapped, it's in the can, you actually don't have the opportunity to go back and do it again. So there's uh-huh. something that about theater, every day you get a chance to try again. You get a chance to find something new, express something new, something small. But yeah. on that camera, all you have is that time. And sometimes afterwards, I'm like, oh, shoot, I wish I would have done this. Oh, this just dawned on me. Oh, that's what this could have also meant. This, I wish I could have had an opportunity to do it again, to do yeah. that. So that kind of... is a con sometimes, because you don't get that opportunity to do it again. Also, yeah. I mean, a con also is sometimes that there is no audience, because especially if there's something that's supposed to be, like, really funny or something, mm-hmm. you know, like yeah. that energy of a live audience helps with the pace, you know, feel that pacing and energy. But on that camera, all you got is you and your partner, you know, so you can't rely on someone's response to mm-hmm. let you know that it's going well or something, right. Which is a little tricky and difficult. But if you're in the moment and in there with your scene partner, you know, it all will come out. The audience will get it, like, when they're watching. But you can't be concerned with that. But yeah, just missing an audience response sometimes. But they do have those shows still that have live audiences.
Yeah,
you know?
They do.
I just mm-hmm. haven't done one of those yet, which I would love to do one day, because it would feel like that. Theater, and it would be like yeah. a nice melding of right. the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like nice, that's a nice multi-cam.
Kind of the balance is like a live show, in a sense. That's probably the closest balance we'll get to have TV
yeah.
and Broadway. But it still doesn't yeah. hit the same. Like,
not the same. it's still not the same. Wait, but there was a second part to your question. What was the second
yeah,
part?
Yeah, so what advice do you have for people who are trying to find success in the industry, as all those oh. pros and cons you just mentioned?
Oh, my. The biggest piece of advice that I always give is to follow your heart, follow your passion, and follow your truest self. So I think that a lot of people get caught up in expectations, what people think they should look like, what people think they should be doing in the industry, what type of roles they should be playing. Mm-hmm. If I play this kind of role, if I play, particularly for me, if I play a queer role, oh, no one's going to hire me for a right. straight role one day. I'll be put in a box. But I just know that when I finally, like, owned all pieces of myself and really stepped into the truth of who I am, that all doors opened up in the most beautiful way. So I think when people can be their authentic selves in this industry, then you'll be much happier much earlier on, because you will just have the path open up for you, and you will feel good about yourself. You will feel good about the work that you do, yeah. and you will actually affect greater change, and you will book more things. Honestly, I really have found that authenticity, when you have a mask on, you can't really get to the depth of your emotional center if you have a mask on all the time. But if you are really vulnerable and true, then you'll be doing great, beautiful work. And that's what I want to do.
That is such a divine testimony, because literally that's the word that has been popping up constantly for me in this season of my life, is authenticity, authenticity. And it's very interesting to look within self and figure out what you are not being authentic about. And putting this into the podcast for 4 years now, this is the fourth year, really finding that authentic and putting it into the podcast has been such a journey. And beautiful words spoken. And I'm going to take those with me as well, because I really truly believe that authenticity is such a door opener for, as you said, it opens all the doors, you know, for you to be free in whatever you're passionate about. So
definitely. Free. Yes. Free. Free. Yes. Freedom. I love that word. Yes. That's what it is. You yes, feel free. Is.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought that up. So hopefully people take that with them. Authenticity. Yes. So let's move on to my next question here. Let's talk about the current projects you're a part of. You play Eric on the Amazon Prime series Harlem, which I've watched already. Y'all, please go and check it out. Okay. Top tier. Also, absolutely. You're also a part of several plays, all of which are linked in your Instagram. I won't say them all here, but y'all go check out his Instagram. And you're also a part of a series in development called Not Looking, which you have co-created, co-wrote, co-executive produced, and you star in. Wow. So yeah. How long did it take you to build this sort of notoriety, and how do you find time for yourself in the midst of all of this?
Oh, well, it was a journey. I mean, it took a while. Like I say, I mean, I had this love and this desire since sixth grade. So it took a lot of years of training and hard work and belief in self and a lot of no's and, you know, a lot of development. Been in New York for years and just, you know, auditioning and starting out as non-union and then getting my equity card and, you know, transitioning, finally making Broadway debut and then for years doing that and then finally getting the opportunity to be on camera, which is something I wanted to do for years, but that was a whole nother journey to get to that. So it finally getting there. So it was not an overnight thing.
Right.
Many years of hard work and love and passion and sweat and tears and laughter and crying. I mean, so much that has gone into it and still going into it. And with all the things that I'm doing, I do try to find time, even though there's so much work that's put into it and so much commitment. Mm-hmm. It is important to find time for yourself that's outside of the industry at all, for sure, because it's actually in a lot of those moments that you find inspiration when you're not thinking about work, when you're just at a picnic, you know, in the park.
Yeah.
You can be inspired by something at that moment that then you use in your art later on, you know. So I try to, when I can, spend time with friends, family, and do things that I like, make me happy, just that are like fun and bring me joy, and read. I love reading too. That also inspires me for creation too, but it also just is fun to do. So I love to read books and nonfiction books, or like fiction books.
Really?
It doesn't matter. I like reading both. A lot of things about self-help, things, autobiographies, novels. Yeah, I'm into that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I was just getting into reading sometime last year, and I had started buying me books. But I haven't gotten as far as like genres, spreading genres yet. But I did buy me a lot of self-help books, and they were great.
Yes.
I definitely recommend reading. I feel like reading is re-educating yourself for life. So trying to figure out that balance, because life is just constant balance, constant. And clearly, you know, from the questions and conversation we're having right now, it's you're finding a lot of balance in every part of putting yourself into your passion, you know, in each space. It's just trying to find that balance in that time. And so I love that. And I hope that people are getting the gems that they need to from this. So My next question is, I have a section on my guest forum where I kind of try and personalize our interview and have some fun here and add an interesting fact. So you told me you have 7 brothers and sisters. Wow.
Yes.
I don't come from a big family, so I love when I meet people who have big families. It's so cool to me. So what was it like coming from a big family? And do your siblings share the same creative bug that you have?
Well, I loved it. I actually love coming from a big family. And it's one of those modern families, if you will, where it's blended, you know, step siblings, half siblings. But I love them all and count them all as siblings. Like, we're all very close. So that's how we get to 7. But it was a lot of fun because you always have a friend. Like, I always had, since I was born, a best friend built in. And so that was great. And we could, and they all are so, so supportive of my career. Like, they're like my biggest fans.
I love it.
And none of them are actually in the industry, though. I am the only one that is actually in the industry. Yeah, no one in my family is in the industry at all. Like, everyone's like business people and things like that. But I was somehow the one. Now, my father, he always, I know, my father always said that he wished he could have been a singer. He has a beautiful voice. Had a beautiful voice. He passed. He's no longer with us. And we love you, Daddy. But he had a wonderful voice, and I always loved hearing him sing. And he always was like, if I, you know, had the opportunity and like could go back again, I would like pursue singing. But his father at the time was like, absolutely not. You're not doing anything. You know, it was a different day and age.
Yeah, absolutely.
For black people, especially in America in that time, like, they were like, you need to get a job or you're going to get a check every week.
Right.
And thankfully, my father supported me in this path. And he was so happy that I was pursuing my dream. So regardless of anything, he was like, go for it, do it. I'm here to support you. But yeah, I'm the only one, but they love it.
I think it's beautiful that when, you know, parents kind of put off their passion or dream, and then they see that in their child and they push, you know, they push that and they allow that to grow, you know, a beautiful flower from the ground. You know, they see that. And I think bless his soul, and, you know, condolences to you. And very happy that, you know, he built you up. Now to be
he did, and it was never one of those things where he was like bitter about the fact that he didn't do it, and it was never that, because sometimes it can go that way.
They
feel like they never got their chance, or you know, they put a lot of pressure on the child. It was not that at all. It was just his joy at the fact that I actually was determined to follow that passion that I wanted to follow. And so he just wanted to support that, and he did.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. So my next question is, what challenges have made you stronger as an individual, as a creative, and as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, of course, like I was kind of hit on earlier, there's a lot of no's that happen. So that can be difficult and wear on you. But one of the biggest challenges that ever happened to me was I was making my Broadway debut in a musical on Broadway, and I injured myself right before we went into the theater to start tech rehearsals. And so I broke my foot, and so I had to be out of the on medical leave for 3 months. However, the week that I was to return to the show closed. So I never actually set foot on the stage in the show, which was to be my Broadway debut. That was a big challenge. In the moment, it was like a devastating thing. However, as it was happening, because of how it was timed and everything that was happening, I was like, there is something greater here to be gleaned from what's happening. This is not by chance that this is happening. There's something I'm going to learn. There's some reason why this happened. Yeah. And I didn't know what it would be at the moment. But I've realized down the line that for a long time, I was working in musical theater and dancing in ensembles, which is a beautiful thing. I had a lot of fun doing it. I admire dancers on Broadway are incredible. They blow my mind. But it was not the thing that was my passion from the jump. I wanted to be in plays. I wanted to do leading roles. I wanted, you know, to be in the star of the show, you know, yeah, to be on TV and film, whatever. So, but because I had these other skills, I was doing a lot of that. But once I broke that foot, I then, the dance went on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And I then had the opportunity to show other skill sets that I had with acting and singing, which led to me then really delving into doing straight plays and leading shows, which really opened up the door for the entire rest of my career. So it was actually a blessing in disguise. Mm. That my introduction, like, to Broadway wasn't one in which I was dancing in the ensemble, but rather I was in a play, mm-hmm. playing the leading role, Choir Boy, written by a Black gay man, Terrell Alvin McCraney, about a Black young gay boy that was telling a story that meant the world to me and that really changed my life. So it all happened in the way that it was supposed to be. So I like say that to say, you never know why something has happened, and sometimes it's hindsight that you realize. And so everything, you know, is going to, what God has for you is going to be for you. Yeah. And it's going to be laid out the way that it's supposed to be. So I'm grateful for that struggle.
Yes.
Because it changed me.
Yeah. I want to touch on that for just a second, because so many times something can happen in our journey and it throws us off and, you know, completely. And some people don't come back from that, or some people, you know, they may push through, but then they have another thing. And then, but as you said, these are just blessings in disguise, you know, and if we can consciously understand that in that moment, that is just what's happening in that moment, and it doesn't ruin you forever. You know, we can start to build ourselves up from that point on. And I think that's just, it's, you have such a divine connection, and, you know, and I feel that, and that you didn't, you know, you brought, when I said, you know, it had to be heartbreaking, you were like, oh, I mean, it was really, and you explain, and it was a blessing in disguise. And that's just, that's the kind of mindset that is really beautiful, and that, you know, I want people to hear and understand that we can have a choice. We do have a choice, you know, in those moments to choose that this is a blessing, you know, and I'm going to see where it leads us. I love that. Love that. So
Yes.
I always say everything happens for a reason. So, and you know, one of the things too, I want to add, we hadn't spoken since we had met, at the after party. And I will say I was worried because, you know, sometimes, in the industry, you're worried how much your, I'm going to use the word I used earlier, your notoriety is. And you get kind of worried, like, someone bigger per se, or someone who's done more projects, or, you know, maybe has their name out here more or something like that. You get nervous, like, maybe I'm not enough. Maybe, you know, asking him to come onto my podcast would be too much, but you're so open, and it's just not like that, especially with a lot of other guests that I've, you know, just whimmed out and said, hey, can you be on the podcast? And I want people to know and understand that, you know, you can just be yourself and put yourself out there. And like you said, the doors will open. And so I'm very grateful that, you know, I have you on the podcast today. Seriously.
Oh my God. I mean, that's a testament. Truly, what you're saying is so important, because you have to ask for the things you want, and you did that. Like,
yeah,
I admire that. Someone who is entrepreneurial, starting your own podcast, I mean, and especially again, me wanting to support Black queer community, especially, like, any opportunity I can to do that, I'm gonna do it for sure, like, regardless of whether it's on HBO logo or on this podcast right here. I mean, it's all important, and you never know where people are going to be one day either.
Yes.
So you always should be kind to people. One day somebody's the assistant, the next day they're the executive producer at HBO Max, like, years down the line.
Yeah.
And they will remember how you treated them when they were just the assistant picking up coffee, and now they're choosing whether your TV show is going to get greenlit or not.
That's right.
So it's so important to be just gracious and kind. And we all start from somewhere.
That's right.
As well. So you can never, ever forget that. So, I mean, I admire you because as myself, being entrepreneurial and starting my own TV show and producing other, I have to ask people for things. Like, I have to, people that I think might be like, oh, no, you're not really you know, big enough, like you're saying, to right. do this. Like, I don't really know if we could, you know, trust you with this vision. You don't mm-hmm. have enough experience. I mean, coming from theater now, transitioning to a creator on TV, it's scary yeah. because it's so many people that have been doing it for years. But again, they started somewhere too. And like, I just think it's important for us to create our own work. And so, yeah. and I'm supporting others who create their own work by producing other people's projects.
Yeah.
And then also my own. So I'm hopeful and thankful to the people that have said yes to me, because that it's not easy out here to be a creator, especially as a Black person this industry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. And I love this conversation. Woo, so good. All right. So my next question is, what advice do you have for individuals like you and I who are building independently and who are seeking that to ignite their entrepreneurial fire inside of them?
Yeah. Well, first, similar. One is find your voice. What is your voice? What is the thing that you want to put out in the world? Again, which goes back to the authenticity part, mm-hmm. the truth of self. Like, what is it that really gets you going, and be passionate about that? Your passion will inspire others. So that would be one thing. And then other, kind of what I was just saying, is you have to be fearless, actually, just as you are right now, to ask for the things that you want. And then you also have to do the work and of educating yourself about things you don't know about. So, you know, get online and learn. There's so many resources online to learn about everything. Mm-hmm. So like, look into all those things, talk to people that you know that have accomplished the goal that you're looking to accomplish, and ask them for lunch, ask them for coffee, learn about how they got where they are, so that you can hopefully you be there one day as well.
Yeah, I agree 100% with all of that. So wrapping it up here, I got one more question for you, and then I'm going to let you out of here. I don't want to take too much of your time. So what goals do you have in mind for your career by the end of this year?
Well, firstly, I want to have Not Looking be picked up by a network or a studio, first and foremost. And then I also want to be a leading role in a feature film.
Ooh.
That I haven't done. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jonathan Burke, for joining me on Grown Up Podcast. If you have any final thoughts that you would like to say, any personal shout outs you would like to give, and of course, for the people who forget or don't go to the description, let them know where they can follow you and where they can check you out.
Yes, I'm just so grateful you had me on. Thank you. This was a lot of fun. Great discussion. I just, again, want to leave people with, follow your passion. Passion always leads to success. I really, really, really believe that. Oprah said that, and I believe it.
It is
true. Like, money will come if you follow your passion. You can't do things for the financial gain. Do it for what speaks to your heart and what you think will speak to others. That always leads to success. So that is one thing that I try to live by. And if you want to follow me, you can find me on Instagram at it's Jonathan Burke. That's at itsjonathanburke. And on X, formerly known as Twitter, at it's John Burke at itsjonburke. And then on Facebook, just my name, Jonathan Burke. And check out what I'm doing from here on out. We're currently filming season 3 of Harlem right now, so get excited for when that comes out. We do not have the release date yet, but be on the lookout for that. I will certainly be posting when that happens. And make sure you, if you haven't watched season 1 or 2, watch both of those, because I'm on those as well. So check us out.
I love
and make
that.
Sure you follow Not Looking, the show that I've created. Of course, we have an Instagram page, which is at Not Looking the Series. We also have a website, www.notlookingtheseries.com. And we have X, formerly known as Twitter, @_NotLookingTS. So yes, check yes, us out.
Absolutely. Well, of course, all of those links that you just mentioned will be in the description below for people to click, go follow you, check you out. Again, thank you so much, Jonathan, for joining me on this episode for today. It's been a beautiful conversation and I appreciate it. And hopefully we can connect again. I'll have you back on the podcast. Sound good?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yes, I love that. Well, make sure y'all stay safe and be kind out there. That's it for this episode of the Grown Up Podcast. Now hold on, family. You know I can't let you go without catching the wave of the Now Spotlight artist for this month. In honor of Women's History Month, I wanted to make sure I locked in a female independent artist to showcase women in the independent lane and, of course, women in the independent music lane. So without further ado, we're going to get straight into her music, and I have announcements later on, so make sure you stay tuned to the end to hear those, okay? Let's get into it. The Natural Wave Spotlight artist for this month, Poet 22. Thank y'all so much for tuning into this month's episode of the Grown Up Podcast. This show is edited, hosted, and produced by yours truly, Derek Holland. And don't forget to head to the description below to support the independent movement. First, catch the wave of the spotlight artist for this month, Poet 22. Click her link so you can go right away to follow her, lock in with her music, and stay tuned for our artist interview dropping at the end of the month. Second, follow Jonathan Burke. Tap in with all the projects that he's a part of. And of course, tune in to the Amazon Prime series, Harlem, where there are currently 2 seasons out now. And as you heard, a 3rd on the way. So catch up. You don't want to miss it. I promise you won't regret it. And lastly, go and check out the Grown Up Podcast website, grownuppodcast.info. I made a lot of changes and a lot of updates, and I really appreciate if y'all go and check it out, play around, share it, And one of the cool things that I added on there was the guest form. So if you want to be a part of the Grown Up Podcast, you can send a guest form directly from the website. So go ahead, check that out. I appreciate the love. Stay safe, be kind, and I'm going to let Poet 22 take us out of here. Do your damn thing, you know I like it. Said my face is hella pretty, wanna ride it. I just landed in your city, gone in tight bag. I'ma have you feeling better for the night ends, yeah, for the night ends. You say you want it, then baby, you got it. She don't do checks, hit her direct deposit. No hesitation, no run up your pockets. CQ or Amex, now that ain't gon' stop her. Fuck bitches, get money. If you pressure, then flaunt it. Fuck that nigga, girl, you got it. Fuck that nigga, girl, you got it. Fuck bitches, get money. If you pressure, then flaunt it. Fuck that nigga, girl, you got it. Fuck that nigga, girl, you got it. You know you got it, got it. You know you got it, got it, baby. You know you got it, got it. Say it with me, girl, fuck that nigga. Say he packing, but your stack's way bigger. Come through and tell your friends, come with ya. Bad girl, you know Poet gon' get ya.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.